Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. Today I want to talk about John the Baptist. Tomorrow's gospel reading is a long reading about an account of John the Baptist, and beautiful things are spoken about him. And I think sometimes he is overlooked. He is, in the Lord's own words, he said, no man, there's never been a greater man that's ever walked the face of the earth, Jesus said, basically, than St. John the Baptist. And St. John the Baptist is the forerunner. He was the forerunner. He was fulfilling his mission, fulfilling Old Testament prophecy, that he would be the one that would make straight the way of the Lord. And he had such a critical role, friends, of the transition from the Old Testament into the Messianic Age, into the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was Elijah. He was the one. But anyway, there's beautiful, beautiful passages here that are really worth reflecting on. I just want to share some dimensions of his life today and tomorrow, because I think we can draw a lot of strength from it. For example, the reading from Matthew chapter 11, verse 2 through 6, says this: when John had heard in prison, John was in prison, and he was wondering about, is Jesus the one? Is this the time? When John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? Jesus answered, tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Blessed is he who is not offended because of me. So, John is anticipating the Messiah coming, the role he's playing, and he asks the Lord, he sends disciples to say, are you the one? And then Jesus said, here's proof that I'm the one. Here's the signs of the Messiah, the coming of the Messiah. The visible signs, friends, of the outbreaking of the kingdom. This is why it is important for us to not abandon the idea that God wants his signs and wonders, the signs and wonders of the kingdom, to unfold and to be present in the life of the church on the earth throughout the time of her sojourn here until he comes again. There's a strange way in which some people in the church, you know, are just completely unaware of him, don't really care much about the kind of signs and wonders that Jesus performed. Others seem to have a strange opposition to talking about it or believing that it can happen. Some even believe that it was just meant mainly for the apostolic time, or that signs and wonders are simply for the very special, absolutely select people like the apostles, the unique saints that appear at different times in church history, that it's limited there. But there's really no indication of that. When you talk about the Acts of the Apostles, the New Testament, the teaching of the apostles, and the Lord's intention, and even in our day, the kind of the grace of what the recent popes have described of a new Pentecost, the move of the Holy Spirit in this generation, in which signs and wonders are being performed, are happening, accompanying the preaching of the gospel, not only in a select few, but the kingdom of God is breaking forth, a working of the Holy Spirit to say, yes, the Messiah has come. Just like here, John is wondering, Jesus, are you the one? And Jesus said, tell him what you see. Why did he say that? Because John would understand that it's the Messiah who would work these wonders. He would give sight to the blind. It's fulfilling the Old Testament prophecy of the coming of the Messiah. Just as Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, after he was baptized in the Jordan, had been 40 days in the desert, fasting and prayer and battling the enemy, he goes to his hometown in Nazareth, enters the temple, takes up the scroll, and it's the Isaiah scroll, and he says this: the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to captives, to obtain sight for the blind, and to announce the year of the Lord's favor. So Jesus is saying, because he understood that John knew the word of God. John understood what the prophets said about the coming of the Messiah and what would be the signs of his coming and what would the Messiah do. So again, just to read, I love this line. Jesus said, tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Blessed is he who is not offended because of me, blessed is he who doesn't take offense at the Lord and the ways of the Lord and reject the ways of the Lord. One of the things that signs and wonders in the outbreaking of the kingdom, the visible outbreaking in this way of the kingdom of God, it can cause a crisis in the heart for people. People reject it. It exposes the reality of the condition of the human heart. It's one of those ways, in a variety of ways in which the Lord does that uniquely. And so here he's the life of John the Baptist. So back to John, he says, Jesus used John the Baptist for us, friends, as an example of dedication to God. He's like the first disciple in some way. Our Lady's the ultimate disciple, obviously. But John has this unique role. He said, John knew that he was going to die soon, so he sent the disciples out to determine really who the Lord was. And so another reading, Matthew 7:11, it kind of goes on from there. It says, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Those who wear soft clothing are in king's houses. What did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, more than a prophet. This is he whom it is written, I send my messenger before you, before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John. Here's another critical example of what God calls great. And what God calls great and what the world calls great are very, very different. You can see what God calls great in the people that God chooses. Think of Our Lady, a young woman, no money, no fame, no power, no great influence, hardly known, humble, simple, pure, lover of God. And God goes to her to play a critical, absolutely unique role in the mission of the Messiah, of the Lord. And she still does to this day, crowned with glory and honor by her own son. And then here's John the Baptist. Eats locusts, right? Wears a simple garment, lived a fasting lifestyle. He fasted a lot. He lived in the desert, was kind of like a wild man, I suppose. You know, people must have thought, wow, that guy's really unusual. But he was single-hearted. He loved the Lord. He was fulfilling his prophetic role. Jesus called John a burning and a shining lamp. It says in John 5:35, he was the burning and shining lamp, and you're willing for a time to rejoice in his light. I wonder how many people saw John that way. There certainly was a moment when he went out to baptize where lots of people came. But he lived out in the middle of nowhere, friends. But he was a man of extraordinary power in the kingdom of God. And he said yes to God's grace working in him that set him apart and really empowered him to have such an impact in the overall work of salvation. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. Talking about John the Baptist, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn away of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go also before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. beautiful. He took no wine or drink as part of the dedication he had, and the community that he lived in that he was a part of, the role of a prophet, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. In his case, from his mother's womb, we remember that story in the beginning of Luke. He responded from the womb to Jesus as Mary and Elizabeth met. And what's his mission? He'll go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah. Elijah is the one talked about who turned hearts of fathers to children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. And he's the man who prepares the way for the Lord. There's not arisen one greater than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force, Jesus said. Again, Matthew 11. First, Jesus revealed that the greater power was available to the people of God's kingdom than the power that was at work in John. In the Old Testament, the Spirit was released on a small number of people to anoint them to accomplish particular things like John the Baptist did. But the coming of the day of Pentecost, this is what Peter said going forward, coming out of the upper room, he said, this is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel. This means that Jesus is who he says he was. He's at the right hand of the Father in glory. He's seated now, and he's poured out his Holy Spirit on all flesh. Second, God requires spiritual violence from all of us, and we see that in the life of John. To experience the fullness of the new privileges that we have in the new covenant of God, to suffer violence really means that God permits, allows, and rewards it out of pursuit as we pursue the deep things of God. Spiritual violence obviously is really different than physical violence. Spiritual violence points to being resolute to pay any price necessary in seeking God for more. The pursuit of God, the radical putting God first at all costs, no matter what comes. Willing to do that kind of violence, fighting the spiritual battle, subduing our flesh, being obedient to God no matter what the cost. And this whole focus, I mean, it's kind of strange words coming from the Lord, right? The way he says it about the kingdom. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, permits violence. That is the spiritual violence that he's talking about. And the violent take it by force. Who wants the kingdom? That's a good question. That's what this passage always strikes me. Like, Peter, do you really want the kingdom? Do you want the kingdom first? Do you want to be radical? Are you willing to subdue your flesh under the grace and power of the Holy Spirit? Are you willing to keep going? Are you willing to be identified with Jesus? Are you willing to say he's the reason for everybody, everything? He's the Lord of all? And I'm willing to walk in the footsteps of Jesus himself and John, who lived a fasted lifestyle, to fast, to pray, and to be radically, radically obedient. And so this suffering of violence is to go after the sinful desires, the pride, and God reorders us, how we speak, how we talk, you know, right? Our time, our talent, our treasure, all this gets reordered in us. It's part of the violence of reordering our lives to the King, following in the footsteps of St. John the Baptist. We'll talk more about him tomorrow. Hope you can join us.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much-needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.